You need to now find the little book of Haggai. It is toward the end of the Old Testament. It's in what's called the Minor Prophets. I told you why some of them are called major and some are minor, didn't I? The minor ones just aren't that important. No, that's not true. The minor ones are shorter. Major prophets are longer. That's really the only difference. It's all the Word of God. So we're looking at the Word of God today in the book of Haggai in chapter 2. Now, those of you who are using electronic devices to find your scripture, man, they make it easy, don't they? You just tap on where it says Haggai and you go. For those of you who are using the paper copy, which is great, you may have to go to the table of contents. Or just listen, just keep thumbing toward the back till you get something in the New Testament and start backing up slowly. And you'll find it there, okay? Has everybody found it? What page are you on? What page are you on, Alan? 1090, are you sure? Marty, is he right? Check him. Is that the right page? Yeah, Danielle's not here to check for me, so okay, all right. I want to remind you of this before we get into the message. Tonight is business meeting night. Tonight we're going to be voting on our church budget for next year. A copy of the proposed budget is in the minutes, and they're down on the front pews down here. And I encourage you to pick up a copy. I encourage you to be here tonight. Every one of you, I encourage you to be here tonight for our business meeting. Alrighty. We are now approaching the end of 2019. Not just the end of a year, but the end of a decade. Man, where did it go? It has flown by. I always find it kind of interesting to hear people making resolutions about the new year, you know, as it be, well, I resolve this next year to do, you know, whatever. And a number of years ago, y'all remember who Ann Landers is? Ann Landers. Okay, all right. For those of you young people who don't remember, Google her. Okay, Ann Landers. She made these suggestions a long time ago. And I think they're great suggestions for these things for New Year resolutions. One of them was call up a forgotten friend. Not send them a text, because I don't think they were texting back when she wrote this anyway, but call them up. Do something personal. How about this one? Drop an old grudge. Just get rid of it. Replace it with some pleasant memories. You know, as the great philosopher Elsa has said, let it go. Let it go. Quit hanging on to it. Another one was free yourself of envy. Just because your neighbor's got one doesn't mean you got to have one. Free yourself of envy. When you feel like blowing your top, ask yourself, will it matter a week from today? Is what's bothering you and making you so angry today, is it really going to make a difference a week from today? Chances are, no. How about this? Be optimistic. We're going to talk about that. Read something uplifting. I am not one who likes to read. I wish I did. Tammy and the girls, man, they can get lost in a book. I don't like to read. I read what I have to read. But I don't enjoy it. Maybe that's... I'm not going to make a resolution to start reading a lot of books because my resolutions last about a day and a half. That's about all I can get out of them. One of them was walk tall and smile more. There's a lot of folks who could stand to smile a little bit more. Don't be afraid to say, I love you. You know, in my growing up in my family, we weren't lovey-dovey, huggy people growing up. I knew mom and dad loved me, you know, they fed me, kept me inside, all those kind of, you know, things, and by their actions I knew, but we didn't hear it a lot. Truth of the matter is, probably my girls haven't heard it a lot from me. Listen, you two who were here. I love you. Would you pass that on to your sisters so I don't have to tell them? Okay? Pass it on. Yeah, I'll text them. I love you, kiddo. When I text Mandy, at the end of the text, some time ago, I was telling her, okay, and I don't type out, okay. I do like everybody else does. K. How many of y'all do that when you send them at you? K. I hit K twice accidentally. And she says, what's that second K for? Okay. It's an I love you K. That's what it is. So, anyways, tell somebody you love them. There was a man who, or a son who called his parents to wish him a happy new year. And when his dad answered the phone, he asked his dad, well, dad, what's your new year resolution? And dad said, to make your mother as happy as I can all year long. So they visited for a while, and finally mom got on the phone, and he says, Mom, what's your New Year resolution? She says, my resolution is to see that your dad keeps his resolution. And make her happy all year. Listen, guys, it's not a bad idea. Some other resolutions I read were a little less serious than that. One person said, I resolve not to do drugs anymore. Because I get the same effect just standing up really fast. It's true. I have resolved to live in my own little world because at least there they know me. I have resolved to stay married because it's great to find that one special person that you want to annoy for the rest of your life. Stay married. I have resolved not to make any resolutions because nobody is perfect and I'm a nobody. Therefore, I'm already perfect, so I don't need to change anything. No more resolutions. How many of y'all make resolutions for the new year? Anybody? A few. I just never got into that because I can't keep them. One church sign said this. I thought this was good. Not New Year's resolutions, but daily devotions. That'll work. That'll preach. Our scripture text again is in Haggai chapter 2, verses 3 through 7. And let's look at it together. Who is left among you who saw this temple in its former glory? And how do you see it now? In comparison with it, is this not in your eyes as nothing? Yet now be strong, Zerubbabel, says the Lord, and strong, Joshua, son of Jehozadak, the high priest, and be strong, all you people of the land, says the Lord, and work, for I am with you, says the Lord of hosts, according to the word that I covenanted with you when you came out of Egypt, so my spirit remains among you. Do not fear. For thus says the Lord of hosts, once more, it is a little while, and I will shake the heaven and earth, and the sea and the dry land, and I will shake all nations, and they shall come to the desire of all nations, and I will fill this temple with glory, says the Lord of hosts. May God bless the reading of His word. Right now, I want you to particularly notice the question there in the middle of the third verse. Look at it. It says, and how do you see it now? Or, how does it look to you now? And that's a good question to ask as we're standing right on the edge of a brand new year. How does that year look to you now? Now, if we look back at the past year, how does that look to you? It probably looks a little different than it did back in the beginning of 2019. Now we can look back and see all the pounds that we lost and regained, or just that we gained, because I read somebody on Facebook says, my 2019 resolution was to lose 20 pounds, and I'm 35 pounds away from that goal. Just 35 more pounds and I'll reach that goal. Now think about this for just a moment. The weight of the earth, I heard somebody say, is constant. Really doesn't change. So if you lose 10 pounds, somebody's got to gain 10 pounds. And I just want you to know I have been helping you out this past year just as much as I can. Much as I can. If we look back at 2019, we can see all the promises we made. We can also see those promises that we broke. We can see all the hopes and dreams and all the disappointments and sorrows of 2019. We can also ask the same question about this coming year. How does it look to us now? As we look forward to the prospects of this year, what do we see? Do we see doom and gloom? Some of the prophets of gloom and doom tell us that 2020 is going to be a bad year. It's just going to be bad. Other forecasters tell us that it's going to be a great year. And we can expect wonderful and exciting things to happen in our nation and in the world. So, what do you see? Do you see clouds or sunshine? Do you see despair or hope? What do you see as you look forward in 2020? Behavioral scientists have discovered that we usually see the things that we are prepared to see. In fact, there's a scientific network, this network centered of nerve cells. It's called the reticular activating system. Anybody ever heard of that before? There are two smart people in this room, Brother Jack. You and me. No, I'm just, I'm sort of kidding. Everybody here has a reticular activating system. And obviously, you did not know that you had one, but you do. The reticular activating system works like this. Once something has been brought to our attention, and once we've been prepared to see it, we'll see it virtually everywhere we go. For example, if you decide to buy a new car, and you make up your mind that you know you're going to buy a Kia Soul because they're some of the best cars on the road, but you make up your mind you're going to buy, in fact, you make up your mind what color it's going to be and all of this stuff, suddenly you're going to see those cars everywhere. Everywhere. When I decided that's what I wanted to buy, I found out everybody drives one. Well, anybody who's anybody will drive one, but they're all over the place. You see them on the road, you see them in TV advertisements, newspaper magazines, they're everywhere. And it doesn't just work for cars, it works for all kinds of things. Whatever you set your mind on, you're going to see it all over the place. Now what happened? They've always been there. All the little Kia Souls have always been all up and down the road, you know, like ants, fleas, all up and down the road. But the moment you were prepared to see them, your reticular activating system kicked in and suddenly you saw them everywhere. Everywhere. Try it. Y'all know what I'm talking about, don't you? Because it's happened to you. You meant, oh, I'm going to buy that big old Ford F-950 pickup truck. It's going to be 18 feet tall. That blue. It's going to be blue. That's what I want. And you say, you know what you find out then? Everybody drives a Ford F-950 that's 18 feet tall. They're all over the place. Listen, the same thing happens in other areas of life. We see what we are prepared to see. If we're prepared to see doom and gloom in 2020, that's what we're going to see. All over the place in 2020. But if we're prepared to see sunshine and opportunities, that's what we're going to see. We'll see opportunities all over the place. Many of you are old enough to remember old Flip Wilson. Have y'all remember Flip Wilson? Well, I'm getting there. Don't you steal my thunder. If you're not familiar with who old Flip Wilson is, you YouTube him. He's out there. When he was dressed up as Geraldine, his most famous statement was, I think it started in a skit where he had bought a new dress. She had bought, this gets confusing, bought a new dress, and Killer, her boyfriend, asked her what she's doing buying that dress. And she said, the devil made me buy that dress. Y'all remember that skit? It was something about, he said, you should tell the devil to get behind you. And she says, I did. And he says, you look good back there too. You need that dress. His second most famous statement, though, was, honey, what you see is what you get. What you see is what you get. Now, although I don't agree with everything that psychologists say, in fact, I disagree with a lot of stuff psychologists say, I'm not going to begin to go into all the things that I disagree with about what psychologists say. But one of the things they do say that I agree with is, if we see ourselves as successful or strong or healthy, chances are good that that's what we're going to be to some extent. On the other hand, if we see ourselves as failures, as weak, as sickly, chances are pretty good that that's what we're going to be. It's hard not to look back at all the times we've blown it and not feel like a failure. You know why that's so hard? We got an enemy who loves poking his bony finger in our face, saying, see, you're nothing but a failure. Anybody struggle with him? Anybody do battle with him? Every day? Yeah. So let's look at this question. How does it look to you now? And I want us to consider three different areas. First off, how do you look to yourself? How do you look to yourself? When you look in a mirror, I'm not talking about, you know, well, I'm fairly tall and, you know, fairly wide, and I'm not talking about physical things. What kind of person looks back? Who are you on the inside? Who do you see? Do you see someone who's weak and constantly failing? Someone who isn't worth very much? Or do you see somebody who's still eager and optimistic? Someone who can hardly wait for the next day because there's so many things that you get to do the next day. Not things that you have to do the next day, but things that you look forward to doing the next day. Of course, I know what some of y'all think when you look at the mirror. You're thinking, man, I get better looking every day. Here, I'm supposed to be getting older. Look at me. What do you see when you look at yourself? I often hear people say stuff like this. Well, I can't do that. There are some things I cannot do. I've been watching a little live PD on TV. I told y'all before, it makes me feel smart. I feel brilliant when I watch that show. Y'all ever? How many of y'all ever seen it? It's kind of like watching Cops. It's just a longer drawn out version of it. And I look at the people and I'm thinking, what an idiot. Live PD. And look it up. They won't hurt. They bleep out all the bad language, and believe me, there's a whole lot of bleeping going on. And I look at them and they're doing the field sobriety tests. And they say, here's a straight line, you know, parking lot, straight line. What we want you to do is walk heel to toe down that straight line. I don't drink. I don't. But I could not pass that test. I have zero, but yeah, we'd both fall. I have zero balance. There's some things physically I can't do. I wish I could. I used to could do, but I can't do. But I'm not necessarily talking about physical things. I'm talking about Sometimes God leads us to do things. And we tell God, well, God, I can't do that. No, I can't do that. You can. Listen, anything God wants you to do, He'll enable you to do. You can do that. Or some people say, well, that's just too hard. Life is hard. Living is hard. Doing the right thing is hard. But that's what we're called to do. I've heard other people say this. I know I'm hard to get along with, but that's just the way I am. Lord knows I've tried, but I just can't seem to change. That's not true. God moves in. He takes over. He can change anybody from anything to anything. Because that's the kind of God we serve. He brings about dramatic changes in people's lives. Some of y'all have seen people who have been that way. They went from being drunks and drug addicts and fighters and all of this kind of stuff. And then God gets a hold of them and shakes all that out of them. And next thing you know, man, they're living for God. A dramatic change. God can do that. So we can't go to God and say, God, I can't do that. He says, yes, you can. You can. In the book of Acts, we read about how the Holy Spirit came into the life of Saul of Tarsus. Y'all know who he is? He was trying to destroy the church. And the Holy Spirit of God changed Saul into a gentle but strong Apostle Paul. Listen, church, he can do the same things in our lives too. You know how he did that in Paul's life? Paul simply said, yes, Lord, whatever you want. God took over. But a lot depends on what we see, though. How do you look at yourself? And I want to challenge you from Scripture to see yourself the way God sees you. In Philippians chapter 2, verse 13, God says something that ought to influence how we see ourselves. He says, for it is God who works in you, both to will and to do for His good pleasure. Did you catch that? God does the work in you. If you give Him half a chance, He'll do the work in you. Paul is saying that we're part of God's investment in the future. We're bundles of unlimited opportunity and potential, and God wants to change us, and then through us, He wants to influence and change the world. Through us. Apostle Paul's just one man. And God got a hold of him. And listen, change the world. Change the world. So don't go around saying, well, that's just the way I am, or you just have to accept me this way, because nothing is further from the truth. God can change you if you let Him work His will in your life. God can change you if you let Him work His will in your life. Now listen, God can take crippled bodies and shattered lives and use them to change the world. So how does the world look to you when you look in the mirror? What do you see? Second question. How does the world look to you? How does the world look to you? Not how do you look to you, but how does the world look to you? John 3:16, it says this. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. We've heard that. We've read that so many times. Chances are it's probably the first verse you ever memorized. Well, right after Jesus wept, because that was really short and it was easy to do. What is it? John 11:35 or something like that. God sees the world as redeemable. And He sees each of us as channels or conduits that His redemptive message might travel through. So what do you feel when you look at the world? Do you feel anything at all when you look at the world? I think one of the crippling influences in the church today is apathy. It's indifference. We say, as long as my world is secure, as long as I'm comfortable, I just don't care about the rest of the world. And it's really easy to get that way. I just don't care. But God challenges us to see a world in need of redemption. He challenges us to see ourselves as channels that God uses to send His message of salvation to the world. God has given you that message of salvation. And He did not give it to you for it to just to be held up inside of you. He gave it to you so that you'd share it with somebody. Who would share it with somebody? Who would share it with somebody? And by doing that, that's His plan to reach the world. His plan to reach the world doesn't mean He's going to show up in the sky with a big old choir of angels and everybody. Well, when He does get a sign in the sky and everybody sees it, it's going to be too late. That's when He's going to call His church to skedaddle on out of here. But God doesn't use these big, great things to carry out His plan. He uses simple people like you and me. So what do you see when you look at the world? How do you see it now? Is it an opportunity and a challenge for the church? Is it a world to be reached with the message of Jesus Christ? Or do we just not care? That's kind of our two choices. Now some of y'all be sitting there thinking, well, preacher, I don't know how to share my faith. Learn. Find out. Study it. Don't use that as an excuse. Thirdly, how does the church look to you? How does it look to you when you look at Christ's church? And our text really is a kind of an exciting passage there in Haggai. God instructs the prophet to speak to Zerubbabel the governor, to the high priest, and to all the people. You see, they hadn't been set free from their Babylonian captivity. They'd been set free from their Babylonian captivity, and they come back to rebuild Jerusalem and the temple of God. It had been destroyed way back about 586 BC. And some 66 years has passed, and God says to the prophet, speak to them and ask them this question. How many of you remember what the temple was like before it was destroyed? Now, chances are, when he asked that question, there's some hands that went up. I remember. I remember what the temple was like before it was destroyed. There were some who could remember the temple, how it stood in all of its glory. When the people came from all over and worshipped, and sacrifices were offered, and prayers rose up to God. Those had been exciting times of worship and fellowship as the people came together in God's house. And then God asked, how does it look to you now? And what they saw was just a pile of stones because the temple lay in ruins. And God could have said, that's your life. Just give up. What was Lot's wife's blessing to Lot? Just curse God and die. You know, but that's not what God says. Three times God says, be strong. Be strong. He says, be strong to Zerubbabel. Be strong to the high priest. He says, be strong to all the people. And here's the reason you can be strong. God says, I am with you. On your own, I hate to tell you this. On your own, you're not strong. You may be thinking, oh, yes, I am. I can lift up, you know. No, that's not what I'm talking about. On your own, you're not very strong. You're kind of weak and puny on your own. And so God tells you to be strong, and He says, because I am with you. I've made a covenant with you. My spirit remains among you. Don't fear, for I'm going to shake the heavens and shake the earth. I'm going to shake the sea and the dry land. I'm going to shake all of the nations. And then in verse 7, God says, they shall come to the desire of all nations, and I will fill this temple with glory. Desire of all nations is a reference to Jesus the Messiah. It's used in the Christmas carols, O Come, O Come, Emmanuel, and Angels from the Realms of Glory. How do you see the church as you look around? What do you see? I'm not talking about, you know, nice green carpet and nice paint on the walls and comfortable pews. And that's not what I'm talking about. How do you see the church of God? Is all you see just a beautiful building? Or do you see a room with people that have the potential to make a difference in the lives of men and women and boys and girls? And we make it, we have the potential to make that difference for the glory of God. Not so we can put notches in the handle of our gun. I want another one to the Lord. There's another notch. No. For the glory of God. What do you see as you look at your future? Do you see someone who hasn't got much potential at all? Or do you see someone indwelt with the Holy Spirit of God? Someone that the words of life can flow out of? What do you see as you look at the world? Do you see destruction? Do you see is all you see violence and despair? Because it's out there. Or do you see unlimited potential, a world that can be redeemed by the power of God? I'm afraid that somehow we've convinced ourselves that this world can't be redeemed. And so I'm not even going to try. But that's not, listen, when God says it's over, it's over. Until then, it ain't over. It's an important question because we see things we're prepared to see. And as Geraldine, the great philosopher Geraldine, has said, what you see is what you get. That's it. Now, 2020 is right. I mean, it's just a couple of days away. And I can't remember where 2019 went. I sure can't remember anything before that because I have no memory at all. It's terrible. But the way we see it, with God's help, in a very real way, is the way it's going to be. Now, I say that in a very real way because people are still going to get sick. Some people are going to die. But in a real way, what we see for the next year is what we're going to get. If we walk into next year thinking that God's got some great stuff in store, you know what we're going to see? Great stuff that God has in store. If we're walking in the new year saying it's just going to get worse from here, you know what's going to be? It's just going to get worse from here. Listen, God is alive and He's on His throne and nothing is impossible with Him. Anything He's called you to do, He's going to enable you to do. Because it's not impossible with Him. He waits for a willing church to answer His call, to respond to His challenge, and to reach out to a world that desperately needs to hear His message. And you have His message. You have it. All you got to do is tell somebody. Now listen, let me tell you what's going to happen if you tell somebody. If you've not been doing this before and you go to somebody and tell them the good news of Jesus Christ, there's a good possibility that the first time you tell it, they're going to reject that message. And the second time you tell it, they might reject that message. But sooner or later, you're going to tell it to somebody who's going to receive that message. And you get to see the power of God change their life. But if you don't ever tell them, you won't get to see it. In fact, I don't believe that there's someone out there that only you can reach, and if you don't tell them, they're going to die and go to hell, it's going to be your fault. I'm not telling you that. If we won't tell them, God will use somebody else to tell them. And somebody else will get to see a transformed life that we could have been encouraged by. What do you see when you look at the world? Let's pray together. Father, I pray that Your Word would fill our lives. It would continue to grow within us to the point where we can't contain it any longer. Lord, that we can't hold it back. And Lord, we'll begin to tell others about the good things You've done for us. And Lord, when they reject that message, help us to find somebody else to tell. Lord, help us to be about Your work. Help us to see 2020 as a year that You're going to do amazing things. and help us to see our part in it. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.